Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. It's good to be back with you guys. Yeah, we've had a little bit of a break, but it couldn't be helped with certain things like my co-host or the host of Making Chicken Salad, Lachlan. He has been out since the floods, really, with his internet has been down and out because that's what's happened around here. There were places around here that were absolutely flooded to hell, and a lot of people lost a lot of stuff here. And luckily, all Lachlan lost was the internet. So it is back now. So hopefully we'll be back really soon with a Wrestle Radio Australia Making Chicken Salad episode for you guys to enjoy. Hopefully we'll get it sometime this week, because we sort of want to preview WrestleMania and catch up, because since we haven't done a show, so much has happened. I mean, you've had the passing of Scott Hall, rest in peace. You've had Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor, Cody Rhodes with the whole WWE thing, all of this stuff we haven't had to talk about. So when we do catch up, I dare say it'll be a fair bit of a conversation with Lachlan. But my conversation this week on Wrestle Radio Australia, because as you know, we do focus on Australian wrestling here, is, funnily enough, it's not actually Australian wrestling I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on something around sort of the surroundings of Australian wrestling, and that is Jeff Seti from WrestleBrania. He is the host of the show. If you haven't heard of WrestleBrania, it's very much a Spicks and Specks or a Rock Quiz version, but with wrestling. A lot of comedians have been on the show. A lot of Australian wrestlers are on the show. They've got three shows coming up this year at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. They are on Sunday, April the 3rd. I'm reading this just so I don't get it wrong. Sunday, April the 3rd, Sunday, April the 10th, and Sunday, the 24th of April. So this Sunday, the 10th, and then also the 24th at the Catfish Bar. I do recommend you get your tickets online so you avoid missing out, because it is not a very big capacity venue. So do get your tickets in, or there is a good chance you'll miss out. They also are selling season tickets, so you can buy the tickets for the whole four shows off this thing as well. If you don't want to go to, or you can't be asked going to comedyfestival.com.au, go to WrestleBrania on Twitter, and there'll be a link on there to go to their tickets. And please do go and buy them. Do go and support the guys that support Australian professional wrestling. Really fun chat I had with Jeff, and yeah, you can tell the guy is a massive wrestling fan, and it's not just a thing where he's in it to get a few bucks, because you can see a market there. He's a guy that loves wrestling. He's a guy that loves entertaining. He loves entertainment. And we talk for a while here, not just about the show. We just talk about wrestling in general on this one. So a really fun conversation with a guy that I hope to have on more often on the show. So before we go to that, though, please do go and support us here at Wrestle Radio Australia. Like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. You hit the little notifications button, you'll know when we come up for an episode. If you're on Apple Pods, 5-star rating and review, that helps us out. Subscribe, of course, to the show. Spotify, follow us on there so you'll know when everything comes up. We're on pretty much every other podcast catcher that you can imagine to. You can listen to Wrestle Radio Australia, and please do go out and do that. So it really does help us help support and help promote Australian professional wrestling. No real way of supporting us as such. You can go to Redbubble. We've got stuff on Redbubble with Wrestle Radio Australia, but all the proceeds from that go to Gotcha for Life and Gotcha for Life and other charities that support men. So I'm really blanking at the Beyond Blue. Thank you, Todd, you idiot. Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. You think I'd remember this after how long I've been doing this show, but I don't. Two charities that really do help with men's health in particular, with Gotcha for Life, but just mental health issues, which has been a really important thing that has touched a lot of us, especially with us here at Wrestle Radio Australia, has touched us here. And it's something that we've made a mission to try and help support over the years. I guess I can talk about this past weekend. This past weekend, I went up to Wide Bay Pro up at Maryborough in Queensland, North Queensland. Really fun show with my boy Mitch Ryder and my two new guys, Tim Hayden and Sebastian Matters. They are a group called Top Tier. Hopefully you'll be seeing them around the country, because I know these boys do want to get out and get their names out there. And I really do hope that some promotions do, even if they don't want to bring me along. I'm not really fussed about that. As long as these guys get out and get their names heard, because they really do deserve a spotlight shown on them because they are really, really good workers. They have a huge upside to them. But yeah, so if you do follow me follow us on our socials. I'm so mixed up tonight. I really do apologize. I'm so out of practice. We're at Russell Radio AU on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm personally at Beast Eastman on Twitter. Yeah, do go and follow us there. If you want to follow us on Facebook, just look up Russell Radio Australia and we're on there too. That is it. I'm really rambling this one. I really do apologize. I'm out of practice terribly. But we'll get it right. We'll get it right sooner or later. So, but until I do get it right, please do enjoy this interview with Jeff Seti right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Recording and then we'll...
Okay.
Here we go. In three. We are joined here today by a man that helped create what, if I lived in Melbourne, would be definitely on my calendar every time they are around, every time they're doing a show. Jeff from WrestleBrainia. Welcome to G'day. The show, mate.
Thanks, mate. It's a pleasure to be here. Very excited to be bringing the show back.
I'd say crossing enemy line, but on the turnbuckle and I are friends, but so it's okay.
You had to go ahead and mention them, didn't you?
I know. Well, see, yeah, like being that I'm a dye-in-the-wool heel, of course. Well, she's a mate of mine.
Yeah. Oh, you're the one. I was wondering who it was.
Yeah, that's me. I got to ask because I don't know myself. Did you sort of see Spicks and Specks and that sort of the show and think I can adapt this to wrestling?
Pretty much. And that's the elevator pitch. I took Spicks and Specks. I removed music. I put in wrestling. Some of the games are very similar, but it kind of crosses more of your Rock Whiz than Spicks and Specks because we have that live crowd. We have the crowd being involved and having a lot of fun with it. And it's an insane amount of fun every time we do it.
Mm. So when you first started it, how did you go about sort of like, okay, we'll put this here. Was there any like trepidation about going to the wrestlers about getting them on, or did you think I'm just going to go with comedians and
no, that sort of deal? Or we spoke to Mikey J and Ree's fantastic, and Mikey yes. Mikey was amazing as well, and they were both very, very quick to say, look, you know, we want to do this, we want to jump on this. Who do you want? And we dealt with Mikey and Joel and Ree, and obviously that's given me a lot of entrees into several other groups. And, you know, we said straight away, oh, we want who do you think will be able to be good at it? And, you know, they said, JXT and Crackers and Lockie and a few others, you know, we'll send them along and Atlas and, you know, some others. And you know, these guys are now on my Rolodex, so I can just hit them up and go, hey, do you want to do this? You know, I'll give you the normal amount. And now, of course, we've got Aisha and Murdoch who come in a lot and Hawko who's in a lot. So I think because we had the entree through Ree and Mikey, these people took us seriously straight away, which really helps.
And you're doing, what, three shows over the festival. Is that the first time you've done the three like that, or is it?
No, we normally do four, but this year we decided, with the fact that the world's only just opened up, we decided we'll take Easter Sunday off so people can go out and do other stuff. We're also doing season tickets for the first time, and you know, a few of those have started moving. So people are definitely interested in that repeat experience. It's never the same show twice.
That's what I was
always
say, yeah.
The show is always different every time. And I now really develop it for the wrestlers that I've got on the show. So the comedians are there to make sure the funnies keep coming, and the wrestlers are there because they've just got so much charisma and they bring the funny as well. So, and I've seen wrestlers get into it with comedians at times, which is a bit of fun.
Is how hard was it for you to find like comedians that are wrestling fans? Because I would imagine that's a lot. It's probably a lot easier to find a wrestler that's a little bit funny than it is to find a comedian that would like wrestling.
No. It's actually really, really easy because a lot of comedians are wrestling fans because it's that thing of, right, I get home after a gig at 11 o'clock at night. I want something to switch off to. And wrestling really, really fits that bill. I've also got several mates who did comedy for a long time with me who are wrestling fans, and I've known it for a while. So whenever it comes to a new year, I kind of go, well, you know, I know I've got Tosh Greenslade from Mad as Hell. He's one of my team captains. I've got the wonderful Jackie Picone. They're one of my team captains. But then, you know, I'll go, okay, well, I've used Bo Stegman before. He's a great comic. I'll use Bo again, and Bro Savard's joining us this year. And it's always exciting to just be able to go, okay, who do I want? How do I want the show to run? And who do I want that I know gets it and knows what I want? And I'm really excited. We've got some first-timers this year like Bros. And we've got some people coming back like Bo and Ferdy and some others. And it's always exciting to see comedians as the show starts, kind of the light switch on and then going, I get this now. I get what I've got to do.
Yeah. Because like when I was sort of like really watching things, and you'd see a comedian that would reference wrestling, you're like, oh, he likes it. Like the only two I really knew was Rove and Santo Chilaro. They're about the only two that I really knew were hardcore wrestling fans.
Well, Rove and Santo, also Broden from Auntie Donna was the guest last year, and you know, it's fantastic, and he loves wrestling. Actually, all three of the Auntie Donna guys quite like wrestling, so it's always a bit of fun to chat with them.
They've done work with MCW too, haven't they?
Yes, they have. They have. You know, Michelle Brazier is a big fan of wrestling as well. So it's really, really easy to just reach out to people now. It's become easier. The hippo wrestling has become in Melbourne.
Yeah.
To be able to just go, hey, can I grab you on this date to come and do a brainier spot? And people are now really, really happy to. And, you know, the more it's growing, the happier they are. And, of course, it's a huge audience interaction as well. The audience get completely involved, as they would in any wrestling show. They are there to be a part of it.
Mm. And also I noticed, like, you sort of teamed up somewhat with Deathmatch Down Under. It sort of makes a good like, almost pre-show to go to you guys, have a bit of a laugh, relax, have a couple of drinks, then go and see the wrestling. Do you know what I mean? So is it been something where you've been searching out promotions to go, hey, let's work together. We will do a show here. Where are you? Because we'll do something close to you or in the same venue.
The thing with Joel was kind of very organic. As I mentioned, he was one of the people I was working with a lot in MCW. And even just as a mate, he'd come to all the shows and we'd hang out and have a laugh. And slowly... when he developed DMDU, we started talking and he's like, I really want Brainier to be a part of what we do. So, you know, we did one weekend, which sadly was going to be a whole weekend of wrestling action culminating in a Wrestle Brainier on the Sunday. And because of COVID, sadly, it got scuppered. But we do have more partners to announce. I'm going to announce PCW in the next day or so. So by the time I think this is out, you'll see that we're working with PCW. And we've got a couple more to announce, some exciting stuff coming up, including some of the talent. Like, I'm so excited to have the Stallones from PCW on. So we've got Tommy Hellfire and Rocco coming along, which is really, really exciting to have Tommy and Rocco, both really smart and funny guys, as well as BDE. And they seem to be the hottest act in the country right now. And I couldn't go past BDE to come along and do what they do. And I expect they will be – they're doing the tag team day, so it'll be the Stallones against BDE, and I expect that will be freaking hilarious. I shouldn't have quite said that, but, you know – now I've let it slip. April 10, Stallone's against BDE. It's going to be freaking amazing. I'm so looking forward to that show.
And of course, you look, Sunday the 3rd is the first one, so that means you're kicking it off on WrestleMania weekend as well.
Yep. We're kicking it off on WrestleMania weekend. I imagine that I won't keep my mouth shut. I'll be expressing some opinions about the WrestleMania we watch in the morning, and then come along to WrestleBrainia and after that. That event will see Brent Welch defend his title.
Don't say it like that.
I'm not going to tell you who he's going up against, because I want to see the look on his face when I go on his podcast and tell him who he's going up against, and watch him try and weasel his way out of it.
Oh, geez. Like I said, I love the concept of it, because there was something. This most anything you see in entertainment, you could go, oh, you could work. Well, for me anyway, because I'm just a wrestling nut. I'm like, oh, you could work that with wrestling. You could do that with, because there was the longest time, and I'd been talking to this with Brooksy, because I love Brooksy's one of my best. I love the guy, and we were talking about drunk history. And I've always wanted to do a wrestling podcast where, like, you get a wrestler drunk, and then you ask him to describe an angle from, like, the 90s or something like that. So with him, it would be like, talk to us about TLC with the Hardys, because he's a massive Jeff Hardy fan. Yeah. Talk to us about that, and just let him go for, like, 30 minutes. And I think you could do that with enough people that would be such an entertaining show.
It would. We find that I have a very dedicated hardcore crowd. Like, I have a crowd who are at every WrestleMania, and they come out and they absolutely have a ball. They have a few drinks at the Catfish, which, thanks to the Catfish again being our venue, and they get rowdy and they get noisy and they make noise. And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. I think there isn't enough comedy for wrestling fans, and that's partly why I put this together, because we need this comedy for wrestling fans. We need this kind of thing. It was me as a wrestling fan, there was nothing for me, so why not make it?
I wonder that if, like, because at the moment it seems to me there is so much sort of tribalism when it comes to wrestling fandom, especially when you're talking about North American wrestling, not so much Australian wrestling. It seems to be like Australian wrestling, we just love everything, but when it's like the AEW WWE sort of thing, I would expect your crowd aren't really bothered with that, so you could sort of, you can make jokes at both, and it's not that
ooh. Anything is open slather. I've even made jokes about New Japan, so, you know, they're not precious about what they love. And part of the joy of WrestleMania is it's this thing of, we're going to go and we're going to poke fun at everything. There are no sacred cows in. I mean, obviously there are areas that I won't go into and I won't talk about, because I think that some things can be triggering for people, and I'd rather avoid that. But, you know, 99% of pro wrestling is open slather, and I can have so much fun going, hey, you know, who would call a wrestler Master Watto? I mean, what's the point? I know that's not how you pronounce it, but how much fun is it just saying Master? What the hell is a Master Watto? And all blue. Did they cross a Smurf with a bodybuilder, and that's what they decided on?
I was always like, you know, it was like they saw Sonata in TNA and went, yeah, we can do that, just worse.
But it's that kind of fun. And then, of course, you know, I started talking about the Great O'Khan and things like that, because I think it's important for me to talk about all wrestling companies and not just WWE. But obviously WWE is the main player, so there's so much. And I've had a few people go, I can't wait to the day where you can do a WrestleMania just about AEW. And it is a few years off, but it's, you know.
Yeah. I think you should just be able to talk about all of them together. Do you know what I mean? It shouldn't be like, you should be able to make fun of one and not like make fun of the other at the same time. And it's open slather. Like you said, it's open slather. It's just, anything should be fair game, especially when it comes to comedy. I'm a big fan of free speech. I'm a big fan let them go. They'll find where the line is, because the crowd will tell them where they hit the line.
For sure. I mean, you know, I've had some of the craziest stuff happen in front of us, and you know, I'm sitting there as the host. I'm the Adam Hills guy, so I'm holding this all together, you know. And sometimes I've got both arms stretched out as wide as they can go, trying to hold this together as much as I can. And sometimes I've got to be honest, I might as well just let him go. And let him be let him add to the craziness, let him add to the insanity. And, you know, it's that old thing of rather beg for forgiveness than ask for an apology in advance. So, you know, that's kind of the ethos of WrestleMania. And as I said, I let the crowd get involved as well. I let them, you know, have some fun, because for them, most of them are wrestling fans. If they're not, they've come to watch the fans enjoy it. But one thing I hear from non-fans is the audience are as entertaining as what goes on stage, because they're all arguing with each other about the answers to some of the questions.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's always fun too.
Like, is there ever been a thing where you thought about maybe recording some of these for a streaming or anything like that? Because I know with especially with like your connections with Mikey J, something like that on a like Australian Wrestling Network or that, I would probably fit quite well just for a variety sort of aspect.
Yeah, I think it would, but I also like the idea of, hey, it's a live experience. Come and experience a live thing, because there's not many of those left.
No, there's not.
You know, there are concerts, but sadly, concerts are now, unless you've got someone like Pearl Jam or Springsteen or, you know, some of those bands, concerts are just repeated. They're just the same thing night after night after night. And it's partly laziness and it's partly what works, so you don't begrudge people that. But I like the fact that this is a live experience that you're not going to see again. It's a one-off. You know, so I kind of, I'm inspired by that.
Yeah. And also I guess with some people, like some guys you would have on the show, they're more likely to not be so careful with what they're saying if they know, this is a one sort of thing. No one's going to really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's also the fact that, some of them might enjoy the catfish hospitality and we they might go, oh yeah, we can't have that, we got a bit carried away with the booze, so can you not put that on anywhere? So, you know, I am mindful of that, but certainly releasing clips would be a nice idea. We released a couple last year. We released Welchie going through a table, which was an extreme moment of joy, and we also released his entrance, and his entrance is something to see. It's on my YouTube.
I know he was very happy with it because he messaged me before to tell me what was about to happen, and he was so happy that this was going to happen. So
yeah, he I expect that he's going to do something this year. I don't speak to him because we're not really that close, so you know whatever he does, he does. I let him, you know. Can we move on to another subject, please? Todd, you're getting me angry.
Sorry, mate. When you started this, did you start with the one show? Just like, I'm going to see how this goes first? Or was it just like, all in, we're going to go full on and see, just balls to the wall. We'll see how it goes. If it doesn't go, then, well, we gave it a crack.
It's still building, to be honest. There's still, like, every year it's still that, it could go either way. I think we'll be okay this year. But I did four shows in that first year. I did four shows. I got three other people and we rotated hosting duties. But it works better if it's just one person doing it. And they've fallen by the wayside, so now it's just me. So, you know, and I appreciated everything they did, but it just works easier if it's just me. I mean, the biggest show we ever had was Progress X MCW at WrestleBrania, which was a bit of fun. But we, you know, we get about 30 to 40 people a week who come along and see the show. So it's not a tiny number. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I dove straight in. Four shows, why not? And we did four shows for the first 2 years, and then we took a year off, and then COVID happened. And then last year we did four shows, and now this year we're just paring it down to three, because I think three is a nice number. We can eliminate, because it's a tournament again, so we can eliminate two losers, Welchie, and then we can we can go ahead and have the winner face off a WrestleBrania legend in the final, brought to us by a brand new wrestling company.
Oof, there you go. Being that this is sort of mainly based in Melbourne, you're doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Is there a thought of, well, have you thought about like hitting the others, like the Fringe over in Adelaide, Brisbane Comedy Festival, all of those sort of gigs?
I would love to travel with this. Obviously, the last couple of years, it's been impossible.
Yeah.
We did do, I've got a producer in Sydney, and we did a show at Sydney Fringe in 2019 before everything went to, can I swear?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Before everything went to shit, we did Sydney Fringe. We had a great old time. That's where Wahlberg was phenomenal. Was absolutely. If you haven't seen Grayson Waller do Dusty, it's something to behold. It really is. It's something to behold. So we did Sydney Fringe, and the plan was my producer in Perth is begging me to bring it over. And the pub in Perth is the pub that has the exclusive Australian rights to selling Stone Cold's IPA. So it would be a fantastic place. And I'm very, very keen to take it across. And I would have done Perth Fringe this year, but it was still touch and go whether Perth was going to be open. So I'm looking at Perth Fringe next year. I'm already speaking to Davis Storm about EPW up. I'm good mates with Lukey Boland and Sean Conway, two excellent comedians in Perth who love wrestling as well. Lukey used to work for EPW. So I don't think, I've already told them, guys, I want you to be part of it. Are you coming to Melbourne? They're never coming here. So I think we'll be doing something in the next year. And then Brisbane Comedy Festival is completely open, and I'm really, really happy to fly up your way. But I kind of need a bit of comedy advice and wrestling advice and on where and which location would be good. The great thing about the Catfish is I said to them in our initial chat, I said, we might get a bit messy. You know, there might be some thumbtacks and others. And they're like, yeah, whatever. As long as you clean it up, we don't give a shit. You know,
that's always good.
That was their whole proviso. Just clean it up. And yeah. Last year, if you were at the final, you saw Crackerjack going hell for leather on the stage to destroy a trophy. And then he managed to destroy it, looked at me and said, Jeff, I remember clearly you said keep going till you lose your room bond. But that's Crackers. But you know, I couldn't have asked for a better final. He and Gore against Jules and Fresh were quite the quartet who had the crowd just going for an hour. Just an absolute pleasure.
Mm, yeah. See, when you've got guys, especially like guys like Fresh, who's just, not only is he a great wrestling mind, he's just got comedy timing as well. Like, especially him and Jules together as a team after doing like Wrestle Rock for as long as they've done together, that would just be, just wind them up and let them go, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite WrestleManias are the ones where I ask the questions, but everything that happens in relation to the game and the questions are secondary. Everything else is what, you know, is the fun bit.
Yeah.
Everything that happens with the game and everything else is just completely secondary. Like we had Carlo Cannon on our first show, and he brought out oil and he covered us all with oil. it was hilarious. It was a bit off, but it was hilarious. I had oil in my beard for days. It was quite funny.
Now for you, how long have you been a wrestling fan for? Because I mean, you must be somewhat of a diehard to even think of going, I'm going to put my money into a wrestling variety show.
I think I don't know if you remember, and I'm not going to be so facetious as to guess your age, but I became a wrestling fan when I was about nine, because Wide World of Sports used to show, you know,
the one match every three hours.
But they used to clip it. They used to clip it and they'd show it over an afternoon. And one afternoon they showed Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect from SummerSlam. And I went, this is fantastic. I've got no idea what this is called, but this is great. I remember I put the TV on, and it was midway through this really nice technical exchange. Beautiful, fluid, lovely. I went, this is great. And they said, we'll show you the rest soon. We'll show you the rest. And so I kept watching. And then I said, this is fantastic. And I went down to the video shop and I rented that SummerSlam, which I think was 89 or 90. And I watched it and I went, this is phenomenal.
92.
Really?
92? No, no, no. 92 was Bulldog Brett. You probably.
So it would have been two. Probably 90.
Two or three years before.
Yeah, it was 90, yeah. I'd say. And I just went, this is amazing. I watched that and I went back and watched all of the WrestleManias because you could get them all on video at that point. And then I just never stopped really being a fan. I've always enjoyed it. And, you know, I really, really, I loved it. And then I started watching NWA because the video shop, my local video shop had all of these NWA videos. And I saw Ric Flair and he just made me laugh. He just made me laugh. There was something so flamboyant and so funny about a guy who could go out there and have a crowd react the way he could by just going, woo, phenomenal. So I became a fan of the Four Horsemen almost instantly. And I realized pretty early on, I was about 13 when I realized I actually prefer the NWA because it's more about the in-ring stuff. And that bears out till today. I always think there's one or two, oh no, more than one or two. There's usually about half a dozen really good matches on WrestleMania. You can get good matches on SummerSlam. But, you know, right now AEW's got the edge in ring, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you would have loved me because I was the guy that worked in the video store that convinced his boss to keep buying these random videos. Like I had my boss, because I grew up in Adelaide. So anyone who went to Movieland Morphett Vale and is a wrestling fan, you're welcome. Because I'm the one that convinced my boss to buy ECW videos and all the old WCW NWA videos.
No.
And even what else did we get? The UW, we were talking about this before, but Herb Abrams UWF videos. We even got those.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to see them. So I'm like, no, this is really good. You should check them out, boss.
Well, in the US, Herb Abrams UWF videos comes with a free sachet of cocaine, you know, just because it's Herb Abrams. So, of course, it did.
Yeah. It only takes you 15 minutes to watch an hour's worth of show, so it's great. Yeah.
But, yeah, I was a fan almost instantly. And a lot of the guys that I really liked were never getting the belt. So I always thought the perfect DiBiase and Roberts should have been world heavyweight champion. But couldn't. And that actually, believe it or not, gave me a hatred of Hogan because I think, you know, he held that belt when other people deserved it more, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a while there where, like, as a kid, you're growing up, you're like, I love Hulk Hogan. I love Hulkamania. And then after a while, you're like, can't he just lose once? Just let him lose once. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
And, like, even when the only time he did lose is the one time I wasn't happy because I didn't like the Warrior even more.
Yeah, the warrior troubled me. There was the snorting and the promos that really, really troubled me. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the self-destructicity of the Ultimate Warrior, which is a hatchet job, but Christian's impersonation of him doing the WrestleMania 6 promo is just beautiful.
Yeah, that was it was a hatchet job, but like when you look at the time, he kind of deserved it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was actually at WrestleMania 30, so I got to see Jake, Razor, and Warrior be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And when we found out on the Tuesday night that Warrior had died, it was like, yeah, there's no real surprise there. He did not look healthy.
No, especially when like on that Raw, when he came out and he was like beetroot red.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's not just because he's in a trench coat and it's frigging
in
a trench coat under a suit. And it's like, Jesus Christ. No,
he did not look well. He did not look well. But yeah, I love, you know, I still have a soft spot for Tully and Arn and things like that. So again, it's nice seeing AEW use them.
You're preaching to the choir. When everyone was loving like your Hogan's and your I was Heart Foundation, the Rockers.
Yeah.
Or like the Brainbusters.
Yep.
all of that, that was all my stuff. I used to go, we used to have, like, my local library, they used to get all the APTA mags.
Yeah, right. So
I would sit down in the library for a good couple of hours just reading stuff that now I know was completely made up
of by course. The
writers. But for me, no, Michael Hayes is talking to Kerry von Erich on the telephone, and they're arguing right now. I would love to see this match.
Yeah.
All of that stuff, yeah. It just sparks an imagination that I don't think that the guys nowadays are able to get access to.
I think there's a twofold problem there. I mean, one is we know that it's preordained. We know that there's a writer who's coming up with an angle. In many cases, someone like yourself comes up with an angle. Someone like Fresh comes up with an angle and works with the wrestlers to get the angle across. That's a bit of a shame. That's a bit of a shame. When Ric Flair attacked Dusty Rhodes in the steel cage after Dusty saved him from the Russians, people wanted to tear his head off.
Mm-hmm.
They had to get the cops. It took them half an hour to walk 150 meters because the crowd flooded the cage, and they had to get the cops out to move them.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that.
I 100% miss that.
I think MJF does a great job of making you hate him so much. There are people with a visceral reaction to that.
And that's like when...
When I go to
work on shows as a manager, I'm trying to get that. If I can have someone forget that this is a show,
for
even like 10 seconds when they want to come over that barricade and hit me, I've done my job and I'm happier than you could ever imagine.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I'm a big believer that you create a suspension of disbelief. So people need to suspend their disbelief to really engage with wrestling. It's like I'm, as I was saying to you, I'm considering a lot of people that come on the WrestleBrania stage, good friends. I have great times with them. But when I watch them in an arena, I boo them because that's my job.
Yeah.
You know, if they're bad people, if they're evil, if they've done bad things, I'll boo the shit out of you.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I do. Yeah. So I think that we are in an interesting era in that we live in an era where everyone knows it's not real, but yet still wants that feeling of it being real again.
Yeah.
You know, like my raw anger at Jimmy Hart for hitting Dynamite over the back of the head with his megaphone. So Davey had to wrestle the Hart Foundation by himself and lost the titles because of crooked referee Danny Davis. See, I will remember that forever, and I will remember how angry I was watching it back, like years later.
Mine was the Hebner brothers.
Yeah.
Because it was so clearly a two count, and he counted three. Like, what are you doing, ref?
It was the clone. It was, and you know, that beautiful thing about being a child when you watch WrestleMania 9 and you see two doinks.
Yes.
and you've got Bobby Heenan on commentary going, it's magic. It's magic.
See, one of my favorite things to do as a booker when we're doing a show is not tell the rest of the roster or the boys what's going on in a certain thing. So then they're surprised as well. And a lot of times, like, there will be some cases where even in an angle, I won't tell the guys that are in the angle until the day of what's happening tonight.
Yeah.
Because, like, in my mind, if I say, look, we're going to start this here, and in June, you're going to win the belt. Subconsciously, they're going to be selling that they're going to win the belt in June the whole time. Whereas if they don't know and they're just, it's an actual, this is just my theory anyway. I think that mentally, they're still trying to prove themselves or trying to prove to the crowd that, I can be the champion. So I won't tell them. I won't say this is what's going on. I'll be like, we're still trying to work it out, but this is, we've got it planned.
I think that that's so important as well, because the reason a lot of wrestlers now become wrestlers is because they were once a fan. So it's important to teach them to suspend their disbelief as well. And I don't mean that in a Vince Russo work shoot way. I mean that in a genuine, you know, this is who we are way. You know, this is, I am a wrestler. You know, I am a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
One thing I'm, you know, I think Jericho's past it. I'll be honest with you. But I'm really enjoying his whole thing of I'm a sports entertainer in AEW.
Because the amount of hate. He's chipped into exactly what they hate.
Yeah.
That's the smartest thing you can do. The smartest thing you can do is to be WWE because they hate. It was the same. It's been the same everywhere. Like Paul Heyman had everybody hating. Like Mick Foley, when Mick Foley came out, was just like, I want to be back with Uncle Eric.
Yeah. Yeah. Genius.
I want to go back to WCW. I miss that so much. That is my home. Or Rob Van Dam coming out calling himself Mr. Monday Night.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just age old stuff that I think people miss. And even like some of the wrestlers nowadays, I think they're so predisposed to knowing that it's a work and knowing that it's wins and losses don't really matter because that sometimes it even like I saw a promo the other week where I won't give away who it was or whatever because I don't want to put them on blast is that because if you've seen the promo you know what I'm talking about, but in the promo they go, what do I have to do? I've been in this match, I didn't win, but I didn't get pinned. I was in this match, I didn't win, I didn't get pinned. What have I got to do? Do I have to win one of these things to get some respect? Like, that's the idea of this thing. Like, you don't get respect because you haven't won. Like, when I watched that, I literally screamed that at the phone. I was like, what are you talking about? At least make them think it does my head in. It's like, we have to be selling to them that wins and losses matter.
You mentioned Foley. Foley is a great example. I mean, he got in so much heat from the WCW office for throwing down the WCW tag team title and spitting on it and going, this means nothing to me. The passion with which that man spoke has, you know, it's hard to find anyone who is his successor. Possibly Eddie Kingston is his successor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been 20 years since we've seen Foley. And now we've got Eddie Kingston.
See, I used to think that's what Punk was like, but now I almost see a formula in all of his promos. I like it. Don't get me wrong, I like him, but I sort of see that formula now in all of his promos. Whereas with Kingston, like he's just going to come out and say what's on his mind.
Yeah.
He's not pre-prepared. You can tell he hasn't really thought about anything he's going to say. I'm just going to go out there. We're going to have to start a fight, so I'll get us there.
Yep. Yep.
But I'm going to talk from my heart.
I think it's like I've gone back and started watching all of Ring of Honor from the beginning, second time around. Now that its initial iteration is closed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of watching it, and it's like, yeah, this is okay. This is just all in-ring stuff. And then... on the first anniversary show at the end, there's a tag on the tape. And Punk goes, there's a guy coming next month and I want to fight him. And I want to fight him because I'm straight edge and he goes against everything I do. And that guy is Raven. And that is one of my favorite feuds ever, like without question, because it's a real story. They're telling a real story. And there are times you forget it's a wrestling match and you're watching two men beat the piss out of each other. And they did.
Yeah. Well, even all the stuff with Age of the Fall.
Yeah, Age of the Fall were great.
It was if you haven't watched this at home, get around to like Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black before he became Seth Rollins. And was it Lacey?
Lacey and Necro Butcher were
there the you four. Go, yeah. Were the four.
And then Tyler Black left, and I think they got Roddy Strong in for a while.
Yeah, but before that, they did the whole thing with when he lost Lacey.
When he lost Lacey. That story.
Oh.
That's a 20-year story. That story's been going on for 20 years and it finally wrapped up in GCW last year. Beautiful. But the Jimmy Jacobs saga is amazing. But the fact is that as soon as they stumbled across Punk, Raven, the entire place changed. Punk has two modes. And I love CM Punk. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he's a fantastic entertainer, but he's got, I'm better than you because I'm straight edge, or yay, I love you all. And I think the problem is now the I love you all has got to win really soon. They've got to find a way out of that because I think fans almost want to boo him.
Yeah. I got to and the point where like he was coming out like every week going, oh, I hope you're not sick of me yet. And I'm like, I'm kind of getting sick of you asking that.
Yeah. I think the problem was also that they wanted to make a deal of him coming. They made a deal of him coming. Everyone went ape shit. He's still riding on the back of that, but it's almost beginning to be now what? There are two ways to do it, in my opinion. One, you got Jeff Hardy in that company. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. When the Hardys are facing whomever for the titles, get Punk out there to beat the piss out of both of them. Instant heat. The heat would be amazing. The other thing you can do is there was a on his first night, someone offered him a drink. And he looked at him and he goes, no, you know, what the fuck do you think I'm gonna do? No, I don't drink. But I think right there is a motivation for a heel turn. Right there on his first night. He hadn't been in the place 5 minutes and some fat out of work schlemiel offers him a drink. Well, you know, what an amazing promo.
Yeah.
So I'm itchy for him to be evil.
That was one because of like, well, he retired that they really never got a chance to do was this because they did it for like a split second with Stone Cold and CM Punk.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when Punk comes into the interview area and he offers him a beer?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm strange. Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah. But I don't think we'll ever see Stone Cold put on the boots again.
Well, I don't know what he's doing at Mania because Mania, he sounds like, I think maybe there might be some insurance thing around it. Maybe. I don't know, but I can't understand why because WWE went out of their way to say it's not a match, whereas in his promo, he's like, you can call it whatever you want to call it. You can call it a match. You can call it a brawl. You can call it me kicking his ass. So they're not even going to talk. And I think that the way it sounds like Stone Cold is just going to go in there and start hitting him.
I think it's going to cement Owens. I think that's what their plan is.
I'm
cement Owens in Texas. I hope so too. I had this thing
because we're in the car. Because this past weekend I was up at Wide Bay Pro, which is like for me it's a 4-hour drive up to Maryborough. So of course you're in the car with the boys. Your fantasy book.
Yeah.
So my fantasy book is because you've got the whole thing with Owens and Seth, right? So they're on Austin and Owens are on night one. Yeah.
Right.
You have their thing. Halfway through this, you have Seth Rollins come in and help Owens. Then Cody Rhodes' music hits. Cody runs to the ring, saves. Then they do Seth, Cody the second night.
That's interesting. You've got Austin,
who is Texas boy, Texas born and bred. You got Cody Rhodes, son of Dustin Rhodes, who is Texas as hell as well. Son of
Dusty, yeah.
Son of Dusty. You're doing it in the Cowboy Stadium. I personally can't think of a better way to do it. You've already sold your tickets, so you don't have to sell more tickets. And I don't know exactly how many more tickets you would sell by having Cody Rhodes is on the show against Seth Rollins. I don't know how many more tickets you're going to sell with that other than just going, bang, here. It's on tomorrow night.
I think that's a smart way to do it. My only worry and reluctance with Cody is it'll be 3 months and then he'll be a jobber again.
Yeah. But, I mean,
and
you look around and that's where it is with most places. There's not a lot of guys that have come in with a massive debut in AEW now, aside from your Danielsons and your Punks, like those big WWE signings that have sort of just, they sort of just settled down to a...
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, of late, Keith Lee's got a reasonable push, but it's very mid-carder. It's very much a mid-carder push. As we were saying before we came on, Andrade is, you know, tenuous. But
it's the nature of the beast when you've got that many people.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. What can you do? Especially when your whole thing from day one was like, we're new. We're going to be bringing new guys up. We're going to be doing the new fresh crop of guys. So you really can't just go, oh, I've signed this guy now. He's bang. I'll say this guy now. Yeah. He's bang. But that's the way it started to be. Like, a couple of the guys are breaking through, like your Wardlows, your MJFs, your Jungle Boys, to an extent, even that sort of like with the tag team thing.
No,
like,
I think one thing I like about AEW over WWE is when a team has the belts or a person has the belts, they're a focus of that division. So they are very, very focused on Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
See, I say that. You say that, but then, like, I've been a kind of underwhelmed by Paige's run as champion. It's sort of like, here's your big feud is Punk MJF. It's blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, and Paige is having a title match against...
I think part of the problem... Do you know
what I mean? Where for me, like, the world title should always be the bang and everything else is underneath it.
I think part of the problem is much like the NWA, and this is something that, you know, we can talk about till the cows come home, but much like the NWA used to be, AEW is a heel-heavy territory and people want a heel champion. I think if you're going to be a babyface champion, you've got to be a damn strong babyface. And I don't think Paige works well enough as a heel, as a babyface. I think he's a much better heel.
That's interesting. I think he's a very strong babyface. I just don't think that they've given him they've given him strong heels, but they've never done anything that really looks like he's in jeopardy.
No, they haven't.
At the end of everything, he's standing tall saying, "I'm going to kick your ass next week." Whereas you never see like,
I agree with
you. You never see like Cole and that just leave him laying.
Yeah.
And that's what you kind of have to do with baby faces if you really want to build up a strong one.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's where Vince was really smart in the 80s with Hogan. Hogan was often left laying at the end of the night. He was, you know, beaten and bloodied and shaking and, you know, everything like that. But I still think that essentially AEW is a heel territory.
Yeah, well, I've always been of the opinion, especially as a booker, that the money is in the chase.
Oh, absolutely.
The money is always in the chase. So you have long heel runs, long heel champ runs, short babyface runs.
Yep.
Because you give them their dream and then you rip it away from them. And then they're so mad they want to see their guy get their belt back and they want to see that heel finally go down.
I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree. One of my favorite championship runs ever was Eddie Kingston in Shikara. You know, when he would refer to the belt as her and she, and it gave it almost a myth.
Yeah, and, like Ciampa with Goldie.
I think naming a belt something unique really, really does inspire and give it this mythic kind of rise above.
That's the one thing I love that Aldis did with the AWL belt. Called it Sweet Charlotte.
Sweet Charlotte, yeah.
I love that. And I was like, that's because it's always just been called the 10 pounds of gold. And for me, that's very like disassociative.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I agree. If they start to name, if one person names the AEW belt, like Goldie, like when Ciampa was chasing Goldie and doing things like being in a ring, I don't know if you remember when NXT invaded SmackDown, when half the crew were caught in Saudi Arabia and NXT invaded SmackDown. At the end of the show, the entire roster was in the ring and Adam Cole had the heavyweight, the NXT title, and all Ciampa was doing was staring at that belt. That was all he was doing. He was not saying anything. It was subtle, but he was staring at that belt. That makes that belt seem so much more important than it is. And I think that Jericho did a great job with the belt. Moxley did a great job with the belt. Who was after Moxley? Omega was phenomenal with the belt. How could I forget? Paige hasn't quite grabbed the mythos behind the belt yet.
Yeah. See, I'm still, and no one will ever talk me out of it. I'm still of the opinion that he should have been their first champion. He should have been Jericho in that final because. How better to make a name for yourself or to make a name for your first champion who is a new guy than to beat someone like Jericho, who beat Stone Cold and The Rock on the same night to become the first unified champion. Then you come out and you're like, I told that the perfect way to say, we are a new federation. We are a new, and to represent it, here is the guy. This is the guy. And then you steal it off him quickly.
I get why they did.
And then he spends the next year trying to get that thing back to prove that, yes, the new generation are here. That's what I
would. While I agree with you, they had to have a name as their champion. Like, because otherwise your casual fans would go, oh, Adam Page is the champion. Yeah. Never heard of him. I won't watch that. Whereas if they're going, Chris Jericho is the champion. Oh, yeah, I know Chris Jericho. He's the guy who beat Stone Cold and The Rock on the same night.
Yeah.
I think at some point Page will beat Jericho. In fact, I think that's part of the reason of this Jericho group is that Jericho is probably next. So I would be very surprised if Jericho doesn't face Page next.
Anyway, let's get back to selling what we're here for, selling the shows, selling WrestleMania, because otherwise we'll talk about just old school wrestling.
I could talk about this for hours, man.
For hours. Right, you've got the 3rd, the 10th, and the 24th of April. All the shows are starting at 4 p.m. It's the Melbourne Comedy Festival. It is at the Catfish Bar.
Catfish Hotel.
Well, there's Catfish Bar here on their website. I'm doing research. How can they get tickets if they want to get tickets for it?
It's really, really easy. They can go to comedyfestival.com.au and just search for WrestleBrainia, Wrestle, B-R-A-I-N-I-A, or they could go to Eventbrite because everyone uses Eventbrite for ticketing and just search for the same thing. We'll come up and, you know, we'd love to see you come on out at the shows. Still really reasonably priced. As I mentioned, we've got festival tickets for the first time, so people can come for the entire season for a marked discount. And they're being snapped up quite nicely. So I advise that people book in advance. We can't guarantee that there'll be seats at the door.
Yeah, well, I think that's the case. I think since COVID, that's been the case with everything. Like, especially when there was limited capacity for places. It was like, y'all better buy a ticket quick because we don't know how much capacity we're going to have. And you just might miss out. So get in there and get... And I advise still doing that now because you just... People are going to buy their tickets and you're going to be left... You're going to go out there for nothing.
Well, we certainly had a couple of people we sadly had to say, look, you're going to have to go home and book for next week because we're chockers this week, which is a wonderful position to be in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd love to be in this position again. And, you know... I'm just grateful for the people of Melbourne and the wrestling fans of Melbourne who have embraced this format, stupid though it is and silly though it is. And it's a silly show, but it's nice to see people come out. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, hopefully we can make it around Australia this year and, you know, get some special guests. Still trying to get Robbie Eagles on, but Robbie's a very busy chap.
He is, mate. And you might have to send the questions to New Japan to get them to approve it. So, how can they follow you guys on the socials? Because all their socials, like their Twitter, has the links for tickets as well. So if you can't even be asked going to all those places, go to their Twitter and there's a link there to go to their tickets.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we're all over the place. Give us a follow, give us a like. You know, we are putting all of our talent releases, so we're going to let you know exactly who's going to be part of this year's WrestleBrainia over the next week or two. So it's going to be interesting and exciting. And as I said, there's new fresh matchups. There's people I've never had on the show before. I've got wrestlers going, I used to follow that. Can I be a part of it now? Which is quite a nice situation to be in.
That's like I said, if I was in Melbourne, that would be what I would be doing for those 3 weekends. So please do go and support it because they're supporting Australian wrestling as well. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on, mate. It's the first time I'm actually talking to you aside from chatting with each other in text. And I've had a great time. Thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Oh, thanks, man. I really, really enjoyed chatting to you about wrestling and how to fix
all wrestling around the world. It's quite fantastic. And, you know, if you're down for any of those 3 weeks, let me know. We'd love to have you come in and check out our show. And as I said, if not, then hopefully there's a way I can get up your way and, you know, we can have a decent chat.
Thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Thanks, mate. See you again.